He's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller. Live from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Now to Zuboff, a wrist shot. Brodeur, the save. Oh, an acrobatic save by Brodeur.
Face Off, the hockey show features the Red Wings, Walleye, Falcons, and high school hockey each week on the longest running specialty sports talk show in the area.
10 seconds of the game, the Devils are storming around the net, and they score! Peter Sikora, 18 seconds in.
Face Off, the hockey show is brought to you by
Tam O'Shanter, the place for hockey in Northwest Ohio.
It's still loose. Rebound, they score! Claude Lemieux on the backhand!
Now, let's go live to the lock at Tam O'Shanter. Here's 106.5 The Ticket's Mike Miller.
Rink number 1. Again, thanks to Tom Klein and Mike Mankowski and everybody involved in here. Again, the Learn to Play program going on right down below us, everybody. January the 17th, by the way. Session number 2 will start. Great stuff. As always, visit TamOHockey.com. Good show lined up tonight. One of my favorite guests. He is all over the Red Wings. Greg Krupa, Detroit News, will join us at 6:15 tonight to talk a little Detroit Red Wings. As I mentioned, the Red Wings, their staff, Ken Holland, all the scouts, another guest of ours, Ryan Martin, the assistant GM out there as well, discussing, I'm sure, not only the rest of the year for the Red Wings, but more importantly, the future and what direction the Red Wings are going to go with the trade deadline coming up on the 26th of February. I mean, our guys like Tatar and Nyquist and Daly and Green and even Jimmy Howard, are they going to be around with the Red Wings after the trade deadline? Who knows? It decides, and they're going to have to decide what route they're going to take on this thing. Tougher and tougher every day. I figured out today they're going to have to win about 2 out of 3 games to get in the playoffs. So Greg Krupa coming up at 6:15 tonight. About 6:35, Andy Delmore, assistant coach of the Toledo Walleye, he will join us. Walleye leading the Western Conference. They lead the Central Division 24-10, 2-1. Andy, the assistant coach, played the National Hockey League with Philadelphia, Nashville, and Buffalo. He's out of the Windsor area. Was the American Hockey League Defenseman of the Year. One time in his career, won the Eddie Shore Award. So Andy Delmore coming up tonight at 6:35. National Hockey League tonight, very light schedule. Montreal's at Boston to take on the Bruins, and Pittsburgh is in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. Bowling Green, by the way, coming off a couple of tough losses. One of those in overtime, a big matchup, Northern Michigan last weekend. Boy, this is going to be a battle in that conference. Northern Michigan won 5-2 on Friday, 3-2 in overtime on Saturday. We told you about the Walleye. They win 3 straight games at home over the weekend, Fort Wayne, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Bizarre trip coming up. Looks like a baseball schedule. Walleye in Kansas City for 3 straight games. That'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Assistant coach Andy Delmore at 6:35 tonight. This is Face Off, the hockey show. Also want to remind you, go to tamoskating.com. 2017 Learn to Skate program. Next session there will be March 5th to April the 28th. Stick around. Greg Krupa right around the corner. This is Face Off, the hockey show.
Off the hockey show on Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Drive time from 5 to 6 tonight. Mike Lowe joined us. Portland Press talked to Matt Patricia. Talked a little New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars football. Matt Markey joins us like he did and does every Wednesday night. Coming up at 6:35 tonight, the assistant coach of the Toledo Walleye, former NHLer Andy Delmore, will join us. Walleye getting ready to go on the road. 3 straight games in Kansas City. They still are second in the Western Conference, first in the Central Division. Kind of a baseball schedule coming up on the weekend. Three straight in Kansas City. Red Wings went down 4-2 to the Dallas Stars. Sunday they won 4-0 in Chicago. That followed a 4-1 loss in Pittsburgh. Joining us now, Detroit News writer Greg Krupa. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, as always, for taking the time. I guess first things first here, Ken Holland and his staff and scouts and Ryan Martin, everybody involved in the organization, out in Las Vegas discussing a lot of things, I'm sure. Free agents, I'm going to guess that's limited, but potential draft picks, the amateur scouts will be out there. Man, I got to tell you, if I'm a Red Wing fan, I'd love to be a fly on that wall right now and see exactly what they're talking about and maybe what direction they're going to take here in the trade deadline coming up in February.
Well, I mean, I think there'll be sellers, and I think it'll be a situation much like last year, unless you get, you know, a turnaround here of the nature that I think would startle much of the league, quite frankly. I mean, I just think that, you know, that's their situation. And, you know, amid that, there's been a lot of good news, I think, for the Red Wings this year with the young guys. But, yeah, I think they'll be sellers again and, you know, looking for some draft choices, maybe looking for some prospects. You'd like to see them dump some salary. You'd like to see them trade a goalie. But, you know, we've been saying that for about a year or so.
Well, Tatar, Nyquist, I guess Daly and Green would be at the top of the list. We've heard Jimmy Howard. Anybody else there? Listen, you can't speculate too crazily here, but what are you thinking? Let's go extreme. If they just said, hey, this is it, if they get the proper deals and are able to get the proper picks, who do you think would be vulnerable to be leaving Detroit?
Well, first, I don't expect anything intimately, of course, you know, closer to the deadline, certainly. I think when you ask Holland about this, and I think Darren Dreger has probably been the most recent to ask him about it, he will say that, you know, everyone's available but Larkin. And you look at him and you say Zetterberg, and he looks at you and he says, well, but, you know, the assumption is 40 will probably go into the rafters, you know, but I think other than those two guys, I think everyone's available. But, you know, in saying that, I think that's been true for a while. And I think it's probably been true for about a season and a half or more. And it's a question of getting the right deal, and the right deal has not come in that time. So I think meetings or not, or this year being this year or not, it's been tough for Holland to swing that trade. And I think the reason is he doesn't want to give up any good prospects.
Again, talking to Greg Krupa, Detroit News writer, covers the Detroit Red Wings. Hey, give me a little update before we you mentioned the young guys, Greg, and Bertuzzi's been good, and Athanasiou's been good as well. We want to touch on some of the guys you think that are emerging and taking a step in their career, but let's go down a level to Grand Rapids. Anything happening there under Todd Nelson that you like?
Well, I think, you know, what's more important is whether the Red Wings like it, and I think their hesitancy to bring up some of these guys is testament to the fact that they don't think they're ready yet. But you'd be looking for a defenseman, and I think the first name on the list is Hickett. And when Hickett was up here in the preseason, he looked pretty good. I think it's a shame they haven't taken a look at him yet. But, you know, they decided to bring Trevor Daly in, and they still have Mike Green skating with them. And, you know, they were trying to make the playoffs, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it a second year in a row. So maybe Hickett's eventually. Svechnikov had a slow start, in part because he was injured, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think Dominic Turgeon has looked pretty good up here, and you'd like to see him stay, but when people come back from the injury list, he'll probably be going back down. So, in a way, it's needless to talk about some of the other forwards down there. I think there was an instructive thing recently by a guy named Cronman who took a look at how clubs are using their minor leagues and who's playing and so forth and so on. And the fact of the matter is the Red Wings play a lot of older players in Grand Rapids that really aren't the guys you'll see being brought up here. It's more these younger guys, and it doesn't look like, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure these young guys are ready to bring up right now, and I don't think the Red Wings are ready to bring up.
Well, Grand Rapids, too, has had such a tremendous, tremendous history, and they've won there, and you know, it's a great building. They draw great. I know they're there for development. You know, we go through this here with the Mudhens in baseball, who have really struggled to have a, you know, a good run and get into the postseason. And they tried it both ways, veteran teams and young guys. I would imagine with the Tigers rebuild, they're going to be younger this year. But it's such a great business model in Grand Rapids. You can't go out with the kids every night and get your brains beat in, because it's a knowledgeable fan base. They want to win games as well. So, I mean, there's a fine line there.
And frankly, you know, I think a response to something, a survey like that, which I find to be instructive, nonetheless, is I think the Wings want some of their young guys playing with a lot of guys who have experience to get the training done right. I think that's part of that, but it's also testament to the fact that I don't think the Wings have a lot at Grand Rapids, to tell you the truth, and that's why they're stocking up. I mean, you know, there's some guys further down the pipeline, but, you know, to bring up right now and throw into the lineup, you know, I'd like to see Hicketts.
Again, talking to Greg Krupa, a Detroit news writer, read his story today. He covers the Red Wings. The Red Wings, of course, boy, in the midst of a homestand here after Dallas. Carolina's in on Saturday. Devils, my old team, comes in on Monday. I might be up there on Monday. Flyers on Tuesday. Chicago, San Jose. They had an earlier home stretch like this, but they're in another little stretch here that if they're going to do anything right now at the Little Caesars Arena, that I'm not sure they've established as a great home building, but they got to make hay and make it quickly.
Well, no doubt about that, and I think it's in these next several games here. And, you know, I don't expect it. I think it's a little much to put on them at this point, you know, with essentially a 500 record. And, you know, we see how they're playing. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got one star, and that's Zetterberg, and he's got 6 goals so far this year, but a ton of assists. And he kind of still makes things go with, you know, his 20, I think, 6 or 7 assists now. And, what we're watching is the development of people like, you know, Larkin and everyone knows the names, and I think that's all gone really well this year. Is it putting people who have tickets and who are in the building in their seats all the time? No. And I think there's a credible amount of no-shows also. But, you know, you're seeing a young team develop, and you're seeing a team that's going to take a while to develop, and that's going to have to replace Zetterberg along the way.
Hey, Greg, tell me a little bit about Mrazek and Howard. Where's that stand right now? I mean, both have had, you know, some pretty good runs. Both have kind of gone the other way as well. What have you observed?
Well, I think Jimmy is, I think Jimmy's done an amazing thing here over the last little while, which is to seize number one back and play some of the better hockey of his career. You know, I'm excited about his play. I think he's played real well. You know, I think he did. They both had miserable outings against Montreal, no doubt about that. But I think the thing about Jimmy Howard is that he is such a solid B-plus goalie that people, I think, sometimes look at a C-plus outing or an A-minus outing and tie on to that when it's really all-around B-plus. He's a really good goalie, and he's playing like one. And I think Mrazek's going to ultimately be a really good goalie and play like one. It's been a little while since he's been able to put a string of those sorts of games together. He looked pretty good the other night in that shutout, and I'd like to see them play him more. And I thought they would this year. Last year the emphasis was sort of on getting both goalies going and keeping them going. I think they stuck with Howard because they wanted to make the playoffs and ride a hot goalie. I'm not sure that was a good strategy. I think he wanted to have Peter going.
Hey,
will he get going again? Will he get going again? I think he will, but he's got to have playing time.
Hey, Greg, how's Jeff Blashill's demeanor? We've had him on this show. I mean, he seems to be pretty calm, cool, collected. And listen, he knows what he has to pencil into the lineup every night. Anything there that you've observed out of him and his DNA, has it changed at all that, you know, they're in this mode of a club that, for the most part, really, they're going to get into a reboot or a rebuild here? What have you taken away from the coach?
Well, I think the coach who has the most difficult job of any Red Wings coach in 30 years has handled all of that really, really well. You know, there's a lot of disappointments with narrow losses. There's some disappointment with the officiating last night. And previously here in this little stretch, and the ups and downs, and the fact that, you know, the fan base is chafing a bit because for 30 years they watch pretty darn good hockey here, and right now it's sort of a you know, average or a little bit less than average hockey. And he's the guy who's got to run the show. I think he's handled all of that very well. I wrote a column earlier in the year, and I don't, what I would really praise him for is his demeanor. Because I think there are times when, you know, you could lose your temper, you could lose comportment, and he hasn't done it. I think that shows he's a tough guy. He may not strike people that way, but I think he's a tough guy. And the other thing I would say, I wrote a column earlier this year, I think if there's not some improvement in this club after his 3 years, I'm not sure he should be back for a fourth. But I say that only because you'd like to see some improvement with the same player from one coach over a period of a few years, and unfortunately it hasn't happened. A lot of that is the roster. He's bringing some young guys along, but, you know, I'm not sure he's going to be back next year. We'll see.
Final question, Greg. Teams you've seen come into the Little Caesars Arena and also the story of Las Vegas. I read a quote last week, and you know, everybody talking about the advantage that the Las Vegas Golden Knights had in this expansion draft. I love what the owner said. He says, for $500 million, I should get a little bit of an advantage here. Good for him saying that. And, you know, Vegas right now at 29-10-3, they've been absolutely outstanding. Stevie Yzerman's Tampa Bay Lightning have been outstanding. Clubs you've observed, anything that's stood out in the National Hockey League with the other teams this year?
Well, I mean, I think Tampa's really got it going, you know, and it's the sort of lineup that is reminiscent of the Wings when they were strong, in that they sort of come at you in waves. You don't know which line is going to beat you. And they defend very well, and, you know, they got a really good little goalie. I mean, not little, I mean, he's a really good goalie. And, you know, I think, in a way, I didn't expect any team to sort of separate themselves from the league, given all the parity that's designed into this thing. But it's kind of striking the way Tampa's doing that a little bit, except for maybe the expansion team, right? So what explains that? I think it's a different sort of expansion era, and the expansion was handled differently this time with one team and different rules that kind of encouraged, a better draft procedure, a better, more likelihood of getting good players. And, they got some good ones, and I think they have an excellent coach. I think they have one of the best coaches in the league, Steve Yzerman's former line mate, Gerard Gallant. So those are two things that really do strike me around the league, as you say, and, more power to them. They're on the rise, and a couple of the teams that used to be up there with the Wings back in the day, Colorado and New Jersey, are perking up now, too. The Wings need to go through the process that they went through. The Wings are going to need to be down for a while before they can come back up, and that's certainly what's going on with them.
Yeah, great stuff. And, yeah, good for Gerard Gallant, for crying out loud, the way he was dumped in Florida and did open a door for a guy that signs my paycheck over in Windsor and Bob Bugner. But good for Gerard Gallant and good for Las Vegas. It's been a great story, by the way. Had him on Saturday night when Edmonton was in there. And you know what? They're going to draw fans. People go there for the weekend when their teams are in town. And been a great story. George McVie stockpiling players to use for chips. Now, the former Bowling Green Falcon, by the way, Hobie Baker winner who played not too far from here. Now he's got to make a decision, for crying out loud. You mentioned Tampa with 65 points. Vegas has got 61. Do you go for this thing? I mean, this is a tremendous, tremendous story.
Well, I think you do go for it because, Mike, as they always say when you get into the playoffs, when you've gotten close and you don't make it, you always wonder if you're going to get back. So I think there's no doubt about you go for it. I mean, I think they may have surprised themselves. They may have had a different idea for what they'd be doing with their personnel come February or March. But, listen, if they're in this kind of shape then, I mean, you go for it.
No question about it. Good stuff as always. Greg, thanks for coming on. I enjoy our chats every time we talk Red Wings. Of course, you're speaking, you know, right into the heart of Red Wing country here. Thanks for the update. And down the road, we'll touch base again.
Great to talk with you, Mike. Thanks a lot.
That's Greg Krupa, Detroit News, talking Detroit Red Wings here on Face Off, the hockey show. The Learn to Play hockey program continues. Visit TamoHockey.com. Next session coming up this week, January the 17th. Learn to skate by USA Hockey. Also, visit TamoSkating.com. Next session there will be on March the 5th. That's through April the 28th, 5 weeks. TASS Electronics update right around the corner. My name is Mike Miller. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show.
It's Face Off, the Hockey Show with Mike Miller on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome back. Face Off, the Hockey Show. Doubleheader today. We did drive time from 5 to 6 o'clock. We talked to Mike Lowe. Mike Lowe has been covering the New England Patriots for about 30 years. He joined us, of course, talked about Matt Patricia, who's going to be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. Matt Markey joined us at 5:35, and just a couple of moments ago, we talked to Detroit News writer Greg Krupa. He covers the Detroit Red Wings. Speaking of the Detroit Red Wings, Andy Delmauer joins us, assistant coach of the Walleye, played in Philadelphia, Nashville, Buffalo as well. The Blue Jackets played overseas, American Hockey League Defenseman of the Year. How's that for a resume, Reed? Andy, pretty good?
You got about another 5 minutes.
Yeah, very, very good. Hey, congratulations. Pretty good weekend for the Walleye last weekend. They go 3-for-3 and gearing up for a bizarre road trip. Almost looks like a baseball schedule. Kansas City, three consecutive games in Kansas City. Walleye, of course, lead the Central Division, second in the Western Conference. Tell me about it. They got to be doing something right.
Well, you know, we always talk about, you know, getting on a roll and getting them doing, playing the right way. And definitely last weekend, you know, not just winning the games, you know, they did play a great weekend. They gave an honest, great effort. And, I think that's how we ended up getting the three wins.
You know, Andy, this is a team and a league, the ECHL, with a lot of recalls. And, of course, injuries come in the mix for everybody. From a coach's standpoint, you and Dan Watson, we've had a ton of the players on this year as well. But, I mean, you show up at the rink and somebody's recalled, and all of a sudden you're mixing and matching lines. Share with our listeners here tonight a little bit about coaches and, you know, knowing the DNA of certain players to be able to perform with other players. I mean, it's a mix and a match almost on a constant basis.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, happens in this league. And I know myself, we're just prepared for, you know, kind of anything at all times. And, you know, the good thing about getting call-ups is that it gives somebody else more ice time. So, you know, our thing is, you know, when you get the chance to get out there and maybe move up a line or get some power play time or PK time, you just go out there and, you know, seize the moment and do your job.
You know, you're a guy, Andy, in your career as a defenseman that can compile points and or a power play specialist and so on and so forth. And special teams have become such an important part of the game, both the PK and the power play. Tell me a little bit about that. It kind of seems from a coaching standpoint, you're at the right place at the right time in the right era.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the refereeing, it'd be different in this league. But some nights, you know, we don't get as many power plays, but we get more penalty kills. But, you know, me and Dan, we do take great pride in having them prepared on both aspects of the game. And you know, it is very important, and it's, you know, it's important in playoffs. So, you know, we take great pride in, you know, being at the top in both. So, you know, like you said, it's very important, and, you know, we want to really strive to be the best in both.
Hey, you know, Andy, we've had Ken Holland on the show a lot, and Jeff Blashill and Ryan Martin, I know who you know, and all those guys that, of course, you've had relationships with over the years. And I got to tell you, and with my travels with Windsor now, I don't get to see a lot of Walleye games. I'll catch them on TV every now and then. But, I mean, I'm so impressed since, well, I was a general manager in this league, which is over a decade ago, the level of play and the speed and the prospects of guys that have a chance to move up as compared to a decade ago.
Yeah, something that's hard for me to say because I was still playing a decade ago and I was overseas, so I didn't really know much about the league coming in, but, you know, just from practice, you know, you can tell everybody's getting bigger, stronger, faster, and you know, they're all well prepared and well coached. So you know, the league is getting better, and you know, I know I can just tell by our fan base that, you know, the product must be good because they love it, and we have a great fan base here. So we got to be doing something right, and the league does as well. So we have a lot of fun doing it, and you know, we're proud of putting that real fun hockey product on the ice.
No, it's remarkable. I mean, it really is. And between Fort Wayne and Toledo, I don't know if there's two better hockey markets in all minor pro hockey. Hey, you got a lot of guys. I was looking at your roster. Andy Delmore joins us, assistant coach of the Toledo Walleye. This is Faceoff, and we're in our 18th year doing this. Guys that come out of the college ranks, Andy, and I mean, the first thing that stands out is, you know, number of games played. College, you're playing Friday and Saturday night. Now all of a sudden you come to this level. Besides the amount of work you're putting in, games played, anything else, guys coming from college into the ECHL or pro hockey that you've noticed over the years, the adjustments they have to make?
Well, obviously, like you mentioned, probably the length of the schedule and the practice schedule is probably one of the biggest adjustments. You know, I do know they're living on their own at college, but I wouldn't consider it living on their own. They usually got, you know, I don't know how many people in those places, but, you know, you're on your own, you know, you're playing pro hockey, and you're, you know, this is, you've chosen this as somewhat of your livelihood. So, you know, it depends on how you play and how you're going to move up, and, you know, you do have to make money in this world. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So that's something that, you know, they have to get, you know, they have to get, you know, just to, you know, they have to just figure it out, and it's sometimes it's tough. So
no, I get it, no doubt about it. Listen,
yeah, it's tough for them, but you know, it's a great life experience for them, no matter what. You know, we try and not just help them, you know, on the ice, but off the ice as well, with whatever they need, you know, finishing hockey or whatever. We, you know, we're there for them in a lot of different aspects.
No, I know that is true. Hey, you know, Andy, the biggest storyline this year after the playoff run last year, eliminated by Colorado. There was a lot of talk about, you know, more grit, getting bigger, tougher, stronger. From what I read, I don't get to see that many games with my schedule, but for the most part, you and Dan and I think the organization have addressed that. A team that, labeled correctly or not, a skilled team with a lot of speed that got in the playoffs, and a team that wasn't as skilled said, hey, we're going to have to bang some guys around here to be successful. It looks like that's been addressed, and it's obviously going in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, we got a little bit bigger, a little bit tougher, and, you know, we still have the skill and the speed. So we have just a real nice mixture of a whole bunch of different talents, and, you know, we're looking forward to finish the second half of the season here, get into the playoffs, and hopefully do some great things.
Final question. You have beat Kansas City on Saturday. You go out there, that bizarre schedule, 3-3 in Kansas City. What did you see from them, and any different playing against those guys out there, and what will you take into it after beating them once at home?
Well, you know, we beat them somewhat pretty handily at home. You know, we can't take too much from that game. They were missing a couple of their best players, one due to an injury. So they'll probably be back this weekend. So, you know, as we know in hockey, there's never a game that you circle on the schedule. You know, it's tough to beat a team three times in their own building on back-to-back nights. So, you know, we've got to be ready for the road trip. And, you know, on the road, you got to keep it simple. You're not there to play for anybody else but your teammates. There's no fans watching or whatnot. So you just go out there and have that hard hat on and get to work.
Good stuff, Andy. Great hearing your voice. Thanks for taking